2016 election, many Americans and pundits in the media were stunned to see Donald Trump elected to the presidency of the United States, myself and Ed included. 2 years later, beyond the endless think pieces and poll results, America votes to decide the ongoing direction of their country. This episode was recorded before we had any results coming in for the US 2018 midterms. We'll be doing another episode later in the week, post-results. You can always find us at US of Ed on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter. Polls are claiming Democrats are likely to take the House, but Republicans will keep the Senate. Ed, where are we at?
Well, this is really an interesting one, and it comes down to a few selected House seats and Senate seats. In West Virginia, there's a House and a Senate seat. If they both go Democratic, it means not as a wave, it's a tsunami. The same thing's true in Indiana. A great woman running in Kentucky who's neck and neck Democrat with the established Republican guy. And then, of course, the Republicans gave up a lot of seats. About 23 to 25 of them dropped out. Means the seats are open, and many of them are in places where Clinton carried the race, but a Republican was swept in at that time. So it's going to be very interesting. Right now, it's the Democrats to lose, but they've learned how to lose.
As you said, 23 seats needed to take the House for Democrats, and yet we've seen about that many Republicans, the incumbents, drop out.
That's right. That's right. So there's, even at this point, the Republicans are conceding the House. So is the president. The question is this a wave, a tsunami, or just a little trickle screen in the stream where you drop the pebble in the water and you climbed over? No matter, the Democrats are going to characterize this as a great victory no matter what happens. What is interesting in all these races that are tight, there are around 10% of the voters who are undecided. Those voters are clearly decided. And in my mind, a person who says they're undecided is they don't want to say they're against Trump. So I think the undecideds will largely go for the Democrat, and they can walk out of the booth and tell their friends, well, of course I went for the champion or whatever. Because this thing is so divisive, people don't even want to tell their friends and neighbors what they're doing in the voting booth.
You touched on it a moment ago, Ed, but Democrats angry, mobilized, but could we see a repeat of 2016 where Dems assumed they had this situation, it was in the bag, Clinton would be in, and a lot ended up staying away from the voting booths?
That won't happen. Already, the number of Democrats who've gone out in early voting is way above the numbers usually. Less than the Republicans, but way in number of the usual voters. 60% of the young people, 19 to 34, say they're going to vote. They're usually around 20%, and over 60% of them are Democrats. The Democrats enjoy a 67% advantage in the women's vote, particularly the suburban women's vote. Now, the Republicans are running some women, like Sima in Arizona, running against another woman. So the women factor is up for the Republicans, up for the Democrats. We'll just see who can take this. This is going to be a race right to the finish. Whoever looks like Hussein Bolt is going to win.
I might come back to a couple of those names in a moment, but look, after some sort of vague messaging from Trump, I would say in the lead up to this vote, he and Republicans have really honed in on immigration as a key issue in these midterms. You've got the caravan of people coming up from South America being called an invasion. Trump claiming immigrants will be camping on front lawns if Andrew Gillum wins Florida. How effective is this as a message in terms of mobilizing the base?
Well, in Florida, that'd be interesting because people, a swim from Mexico to Florida would probably be, they'd be world champion swimmers to make that. and I'd certainly take them in. And clearly, the Floridians have taken in a lot of Spanish-speaking people, so that is not a very effective argument in Florida. And in the middle of the country, it's not very effective, where they don't see a huge Hispanic invasion. It is on the border states. And I think it's already worn out. There's only so much you can say about this caravan. And, of course, there's a lot of counter evidence being put. So I think this is going to be a wash. Immigration, of course, is important. But many people are thinking of the Dreamers, not these immigrants. So I would anticipate that that one's a wash. Medical care is the big issue. People have members of their family who desperately need medical care, and they want to keep it. And the Republicans have been very disingenuous on this issue. And even though the job picture looks good, and I was just in the States, many people have lousy, lousy jobs, and they know it. So there's anger about the jobs they've gotten as a result of Trumpdom. And in the Midwest, they've lost jobs with the tariffs. So the economy does cut in both directions. The biggest issue is not Trump, but what he acts like. People, even those who support him, think his behavior is despicable. And so there's a large number of people who are voting on that behavior. And some people think it's great. Finally, someone's speaking up for America. But I think they're a minority. But we'll see. We've only got 24 hours left.
I wanted to talk about one other big tenet of the Republican strategy, such as it were, voter suppression in the lead up to these midterms. That includes purges, new ID laws that have been accused of targeting racial minorities, new address proof measures targeting college students, moving or closing polling places, such as in Dodge City, Kansas, which moved its single polling place 2.5 miles from the city center. That is a Hispanic majority city. Voting suppression is being called a central plank by some of the Republican re-election strategy.
And it is. It is a very important plank. To counter that, the Democrats are running a lot of people for governor and for state house elections. Now, the Democrats are the minority in many states in the state legislatures. But this race, particularly with Gillum and Stacey Abrams at the top of tickets, a lot of other Democrats out there trying to win the chief seat in the state so they can turn around the voting and whether people have a right to vote or not. A governor has a lot to say about that. So the Democrats are doing something really clever. They're going all through the electoral cycle, taking every seat they can in this election.
And something I just find a little bit frightening, just following on from that voter suppression discussion, federal agencies this week have said they've logged 160 hacking attempts on the midterms since August this year. So you've got these attempts, you've got the voter suppression, which I mentioned, and of course, Donald Trump, ever since he got in, has been making these constant attacks on the democratic systems. It's a little bit scary, but I've got to say, Ed, whatever the outcome of these midterms, I think there's going to be a lot of people claiming the results should be in question. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know what to make of it because there are so many silly claims along with some actually accurate claims. There's no doubt that some foreign countries, Russia and China, to name two, are trying to hack into the electoral system and do whatever they can to raise havoc on the American voter. But the notion that a few Chicanos or blacks are going around trying to hack the electoral system so they can get a chance to vote is laughable. So I think, again, Trump said he would have won the popular vote, remember, if it hadn't been all for those illegal voters.
Exactly.
And they found three illegal voters after a massive investigation. So really, we've reached a point where the truth of these matters doesn't matter. If there's hacking going on, any teenager can be hacking. Whatever side they're on, we don't know. But we know some people were shot in Pittsburgh. We know some bomb threats were made. All those things were out in the open, and still they're being denied. So something like hacking is so easy to say yes or deny. It's difficult to know what's going to happen. But if the Democrats gain the House, there will not be any investigations in those matters.
And just talking about the results again, Trump refusing to take responsibility for any bad results. He seems to be convinced he's done all he can. Whatever happens, happens. He's done a good job. And whatever happens next, he's kind of turning it back on the party. I mean, you're sure if there's an unexpectedly good result comes through, he'll change his tune. But right now, he does seem very resigned and very much putting in the responsibility on the Republican Party instead.
Well, he's got a point there. What president has ever gone out and done these many stand-ups before local people around the nation? None, particularly in a midterm election. But he's made it clear this is an election about him. So if he blames people for not coming out or blames the party, he has to blame himself too. He has made himself the whole issue in this election. Nobody else.
And I think we'll have more of these names maybe to talk about after the results come through. But you've spoken about Democrats looking more progressive, more like the population a few times in the past. Some of the names jumping out now, Charisse Davids could become one of the first Native American women elected to Congress. We mentioned Andrew Gillum before. There's also the likes of Stacey Abrams, Ben Jealous, possibly the first African American governors of Georgia, Florida, Maryland. And in Vermont, the Democratic candidate Christine Hultquist would be the first ever transgender governor if she were to defeat Phil Scott. Is these kinds of, you know, this new look, this face of the Democratic Party going to work for or against them as a whole?
It'll cut both ways. I think in some cases where you're talking about communities that were already, the particularly suburban communities, already marching in a progressive direction, someone who's out on the edge, like the new governor, likely governor of Colorado, who'll be the first openly gay governor of any state, Colorado's ready for that. They have medical marijuana and so on. On the other hand, we have Beto O'Rourke, who's gave one of the most populist messages I've ever heard, standing up for the football players, standing up for immigrants and the like. He's down by 5%, and he's likely to lose that race. But he took a chance. So those people who are swimming in water that is friendly to them and who reach out in a more progressive direction will win those races. Those who take on the establishment, really red places, may not win, but they're shaking the place up.
And Beto O'Rourke, probably a name we'll mention after the results come through, looking towards the future there. In terms of predictions, we will leave it till later in the week to see what the results are like before making anything longer term, what the new makeup of the houses will mean. But any final words on midterms?
Well, let's look at the Senate. The Senate's very interesting. Obviously, the Democrats lose North Dakota. And the race in Missouri, McCaskill, she's within a half a point, either above or below her competitor. She's a Democrat. What could happen in this race, if blacks come out in large numbers in Kansas City and St. Louis, she wins. The same thing's true in Nevada with Rosen. If she gets the Hispanic voters to come out, she's within 1% of her challenger. She wins. The same thing's true in Arizona with Sima. If she gets the Hispanic vote out, she wins. Donnelly in Indiana needs the black and Hispanic vote. If they get those votes, we're back to 49-51. or maybe even 50-50. At one point, the Republicans were thinking they were going to have 60. They stopped that talk. But it's possible for them to have 52. And in that 52, you've got several Republicans who will be elected who sound an awful lot like progressive Democrats. So I think we might have some people who actually reach over the aisle, like Mitt Romney and others. And all the candidates except the Arizona candidate, McSally, say they'll reach over the aisle if they're elected to the Democrats. So it's possible there could be a workable majority on the big issues in the United States, but the Democrats have to win.
The inevitable march of progress and demographics working against the Republican Party, you would have to say.
Yes. The question now is what's going to happen in 2020. We'll talk a bit more about that tomorrow or Thursday. But the lineup for the 2020 campaign is already being put together. You can be sure that Mr. O'Rourke will be a big part of that. You can be sure Joe Biden will be a big part of that. Even Andrew Gillum, perhaps the new governor of Florida, may be a big part of that. So we'll see. Oprah is looking pretty presidential, too.
US of Ed is recorded in the studios of 2SER 107.3 in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com. Ed and I'll be back later this week to discuss the results of the 2018 midterms. Don't miss out. Find us on iTunes and Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.